go to thecognitiverampage.com. Feel free to contribute, donate, keep fueling the change, whatever it is that you guys can do to help continue to allow this to happen. None of this would happen without you and your love and your support and, of course, your contributions. Love you.
Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. My book, The Cognitive Rampage, A Scientific Approach to Self-Discovery, Change, and Life Optimization, is now available on Amazon. Search The Cognitive Rampage, and you'll find the second edition there, as well as the Kindle version as well. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. With the Cognitive Rampage exclusive today. I don't know where the podcast will go. And frankly, it doesn't really matter because, well, the guest on, Xavier Catana, has never been interviewed before, but became a friend of mine a couple of years ago. And as two podcasters kind of linked on the woes of being of what a podcaster is, the tough parts about it, the fun parts about it, and we've shared a few stories along the way, actually, but probably not some we'll share here because I really want to take this focus and ask some questions. So thanks for coming on the show, host of the Human Experience Podcast, the one and only Mr. Xavier Catana. What's up, brother?
Thank you so much. What an introduction, man. Thank you so much for that. I'm very, very happy to be here, man. Let's rock out. Let's do this.
Well, I got to be honest, man. You know how I get down, how I just free flow and go with it. And, you know, one of the first interviews I deeply prepared for was Stephen Kotler, who you've had on a couple of times that you were kind enough to link that up with. But I appreciate it. We'll probably talk about that later. But the point is, you know, I freestyle this and I get into it. But for some reason, man, not like 5 minutes before we go live, I just got hit with like an entire chess board of all of a sudden what I actually really wanted to talk to you about.
Mm. Okay.
Have I got your attention?
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Well, you know, we share a lot and have about, like I said, the woes and ins and outs of podcasting, et cetera. But, you know, really bring, not really, because you run a Titan podcast, right? You crush it, as you would say, right? I love the crushing part. And I see, I can't use that word anymore because you use it all the time. So I can't say it to anybody.
Okay. Yeah, man.
Before you roll out, because I know you're going to really drop some gems here. So the idea really of the day in the life really of a real true podcaster that runs a top podcast that has interviewed all of the great cerebral minds that ride the podcast circuit, which you have, what that life is really, really like and what it was like trying to build what HXP has become today.
Mm, yeah. What a question. Yeah, man, I started out doing this and it was really just about having, you know, these deep conversations for me. Just, you know, I found myself, you know, just when you and I hang out, we have these deep, resounding conversations that, you know, I just felt like I wanted to record some of the conversations that I was having. And it was important for me to bring on people who were credentialed, like authors, scientists, researchers, people who, you know, I don't care if you have a degree or not, but the world does. And there is something to be said for someone who completes a PhD program at a major university and then writes a book about something and is kind enough to, you know, lend me 60 minutes, an hour and a half of their time. So it was really just about, you know, bringing these people on and giving them the space to really just, you know, tell me their story. And that's the bread and butter for me, man, is sitting down with another human being and just letting them talk, because oftentimes you'll find that we're not having conversations to really listen to what people are saying. We tend to have conversations to get our own little, you know, little blurb of what we think into the conversation. And a lot of people ask me, a lot of people and wonder about this. They're just like, oh, your interviewing style is so interesting. It's so unique. And, you know, all I'm doing is listening. All I'm doing is actively listening to the guests that I have on, you know, every week. So yeah, man, it's a big passion project for me, and a day in the life. It's not that glamorous, man. Really. I just moved over to, last time I dropped my city, I think we got like 20 or 30 emails saying that they were in the same city, but I'm in San Diego now, and I'm living here in downtown, and just, yeah, man, it's really just about keeping a healthy mindset for me, keeping my body healthy and going to the gym, working out and eating healthy, associating with people who are healthy minded. And, you know, that's pretty much it, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to call, that's not it, because you have put in work. You don't get the numbers that HXP does, nor the guests that you get and the reach that it's grown to, right? Starting just, I love how it does start with passion. It started for me kind of with an activism role I had to tell, and but it became about learning, right? And that same idea. So I get that. But to get the guests that you have on, to get the reach that you have on, I mean, that's all hands on deck all the time, right? I mean, you're never off, right? You're always finding that next guest, right?
Yeah. There's a very active component to it, and you know, I kind of regret it a little bit, you know, just like, I mean, you know, having all these massive guests on and these big names, now that I look back at, you know, 100 so episodes that we've done, I'm just like, how the fuck am I going to up this now? What am I going to do now? And you know, it becomes kind of this weird paradox. And you know, I like to keep everything as pure as I can. And, you know, we've been approached in the past with, you know, a lot of really good opportunities. I'll just give you a quick story here. There was a self-help author that recently got arrested. You either know who I'm talking about or you don't. And, he hails out of the UK. He's like the Tony Robbins of the UK. And, we were in talks with him for him to sponsor the show. And dude, this guy, you know, he wasn't a lightweight. I mean,
exactly what you're talking about.
Really good numbers. And bro, I remember that day, like it was yesterday, and just something in my gut was just like, no, something was just like, it was like a wall. I mean, the word yes couldn't come out of my mouth. And, 6 months later, he was arrested. And I mean, if we would have sponsored him, and he was on the show, and we got so much hate mail from that episode because we left it up, and people were talking about, like, you know, I don't know, finding us and killing us, and just like, it's a podcast.
Wow. Well, when you reach that many people, right, you're going to reach the ones that are a bit off, right? I mean, and let's face it, you and I are a bit off too to do what we do, man, and to take on a bite like that. But to have something so close like that and move on those feelings, if you will, I think there's a difference, right? There's some people that would have saw that sponsorship opportunity and it wouldn't have been a day, right? It'd have been an hour and said, yeah, of course we're in, you know, but to sit on something like that, man, but yeah, the hate mail especially, right? I mean, I have a close friend here who, you know, well, who's been on the podcast, I don't know, 3 or 4 times, was literally working with him, on an individual basis on multi-levels, man. And it crushed him. You know, it crushed him to watch somebody he highly respected and put so much love into fold like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a hard rap, man. Like, you know, when you get caught, I mean, just don't break the law, dude. Like, be a little bit smarter, especially when you're operating at that level that you know, this person that we're talking about allegedly. And just, it's interesting, you know, like it's the, first of all, you know, we got to remember that this is the internet that we're talking about. I mean, there's all kinds of people everywhere. And, you know, the personality that I have, I like to believe in the goodness of human beings as much as I can. And, in the beginning, I was very, very much trusting and I let people closer, you know, than I do now. And there are more, you know, like if you're trying to contact us or hit us up, like there are more blocks now, there's more gatekeepers now, which I'm thankful for. But yeah, man, the podcast has really evolved, a lot, and it's kind of taken on this life of its own. And, you know, some of the messages that we get on a regular basis is just something like, you know, you've changed my life. Something, you know, that we are doing that is affecting another person on a level where they, you know, their life is changing. Hearing this information, that, I mean, there's nothing that can change that feeling, man. I'm sure you have a pretty tight knit community that, you know, is on Facebook, and your tribal rampage, your cognitive rampage people. So I mean, I know you know what that feeling is to get a message like that. So yeah, I love this.
Yeah, the guests that you talk about, you know, they're on another level. I mean, let's just be honest. Now, we talk about the level. You just referenced that level, if you will, when we were talking. You know, what to you is that difference, and what makes someone on that level, if you will, right? That brings them. That's partly what got me into HXP so much, man, is you took like, and I'm not sure if it was planned, although I know you're a good chess player, so I got to venture to say the board was probably set before you played, but you know, the guests that you bring on, they always bring either something new. It's the cutting edge. It's not redundant information, right? It's really what led me to podcasts to begin with, was seeking out that knowledge, that what's out there, what's cutting edge from, anything, man. For you, it's from psychedelics to physics and further, right? So, bringing on those types of guests, right? What would you say is that separation, right? That level separation that you and I reference.
You have to be changing the world, man. You have to be literally altering consciousness, you know, as we speak. And for me, that's really important, to bring someone on that is really doing something that they 100% believe in and give everything to. And, you know, just as we are passionate about podcasting, these people are passionate about their work. And when I see that, when I can, you know, you and I have a really good sort of flow. We're able to create a very, very rhythmic, very synergistic, like, conversational flow. When I get into that flow with a guest, when I get into that in the cut with a guest, and that's, oh my God, man, it's the best feeling ever, dude. Like, just, you know, just hearing this person talk about, you know, whether it's consciousness or physics or psychedelics, and really, really just talk about it. And, what I try to do is, you know, I just step out of the way, man. I just, you know, I let them do that. And, the difference in guests, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, I appreciate the compliment, and, I'll take it. I just, you know, I'm pretty selective about who gets on the show. And I think that has made it very special. You know, I think that selectiveness has created a sort of demand. You know, I mean, when things are readily available, it's like we have this less of a desire for it, for somehow, you know, and it's a human psychology thing. And, you know, I do like to play chess, and, you know, you and I have had more than a few chess games. And, you know, I like to see the long game. I like to see the bigger picture. I like to see where pieces are moving before anything is actually even touched yet. And, yeah, man. I mean, that's just how, you know, that's how we roll around here.
Well, was there a move, right? Since we're going to continue on the chess metaphor, that when you started the game of podcast, and when you approached to decide to make it something, was there something that you thought for sure was or wasn't, that now so long into it? I mean, and I would say a veteran, because most podcasts, they quit in a week, right? They come and they go and they don't stick around, but you've been around for years. And so for that, and then approaching so many episodes, right? Was there something when you started that you go, nah, it's just like this, I can't wait to be, and now, you know, being on deck, if you will, right? And have you go, man, I never imagined this.
Yeah, I think the most important part of this, and I love that question, is just, it meant the world to me. Like, you know, these were my heroes that we were bringing on. And because I had such an intimate connection to these types of guests that were going to be on, that, you know, there, you could feel that passion. You can feel how much a person cares, you know? And so for anyone listening to this, that might be hearing this and is interested in starting a podcast or whatever, I would say look for that, you know, look for your heroes, find the people that you look up to and then, you know, talk to them, just have a conversation with them, ask them if they want to have a conversation. And most people do. Most people want, you might be surprised at, you know, how much people love to talk about what they're doing. And, you know, so if you're in this field and you're into podcasting and you want that same impact, I would say, look for something that's important to you. Look for something that you're passionate about and let that resonate into the people listening to your show.
That's a good answer, man. Exactly. You know, follow that, right? Who was the first that comes to mind, right? And I'm talking, you know, first, second, third, maybe your first 10 episodes, some early, right? When you first did book that one person that you just couldn't wait, maybe, you know, since they're all your heroes in some sort, but maybe that one, right? That one first you remember booking going, holy shit, we just booked, I'm going to talk to this person.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many of those, but, just the first one that comes to mind would be, Robert Bruce. And I was really into like astral projection when I was in college, just meditation. And this guy, he's like the foremost authority on astral projection and all of that, out of body experiences, psychic phenomena. And, we just sent him an email. And he was down to do the show, and we were lit, man. We loved it. And, it was a great interview. Another person that comes to mind is Graham Hancock. Graham Hancock is definitely a character. He's, I think I emailed him for like 3 years, once a month for 3 years straight, just to get him to, and there was no response, man. It was like it was going into a black hole. I would hit send on that, and I had no idea if it was going anywhere, but it was, man. And you know, what I've found is that when you love something and when you're actively doing it, it shows, you know, it colors the universe that you're in, and people are drawn to that. People are attracted to that. People want that. People want to feed on that. And, you know, they want their own little universe to play around in, and they want to understand how to do that as well. And, we were able to create that in a way. We were able to give people that. And I sincerely, man, I, when I'm interviewing, when I have someone on air, there's a wonder and an awe, and I'm in complete awe of this person. And, you know, there's very little judgment. You know, I don't try, my interviewing style isn't about busting someone up. You know, I don't necessarily do that, as much as I used to maybe in the past, but, you know, it's more about just, like I've said, man, just letting a person have the space to speak and be free with what they're thinking and feeling.
Yeah, those, man, allowing the space for people, I think, is what drove a lot of what I was doing. Kind of that pay it forward, you know, when I got off of my first podcast type, if you will, it was going, man, I want to share that with people, right? Give them that. And for me, that led me that mixed with the activism and wanting to learn more. And I think you're right. People are attracted to doing, I mean, I hate sounding cliche, right? Is even saying something like do what you love or what you're passionate about, but it seems to be what you think about, right? Like more like do what you think about. And for you, the people that you brought on are what you think about and what you're thinking about in the present. So when you started HXP, what was the thought pattern in the present and how did it evolve to the thought pattern it is today?
Okay. Let me just process that question. That's a good question.
It's the evolution, right? If you're looking at, you know, a lot of things we start that we're passionate about, we get into. And I learned for me, it was easier not to have a format almost, like you said, was book people that were kind of a similar, things I was into or what I liked and walk that path. But was yours more planned? Did you say like, I want to bring this physicist to paint this picture, to bring this on, we're going to stick in this realm? And what was that vision like, say at the beginning, and what the vision and how you grow it now and how's that changed?
I mean, you know, there's going to be adjustments as you move forward with anything, but I mean, essentially the format hasn't changed, man. We bring people on, we let them have their moment. We go through this process, and you know, I feel like I've gotten better as an interviewer and someone who, you know, is control and in control and directing a conversation. more so, but I still get nervous. You know, I still get butterflies, you know, before shows. My palms get all sweaty and just, you know, like I'm bouncing around in my apartment or in the studio and I'm just, you know, I'm nervous. I'm scared. And, you know, and I feel like when that stops happening, when you're no longer nervous about something, I think it's just the human aspect of this. And, you know, then you should start wondering, you know, if there's something wrong with you or whatever. But, you know, I think in any performance art, in you know, like comedy, for example, you know, there is that. There is this sort of, you know, stage aspect of it. And, you know, I have developed this sort of, I don't know, I guess you could say, you know, this stage persona, this Xavier Katana, you know, enigma. And, yeah, man, it is what it is. And, for me, you know, a lot of people ask me why I'm not using my image or whatever. And, you know, why I'm so hidden in, you know, dude, you know, I very, very much respect my privacy. I really value it a lot. And I'm actually a pretty introverted person. And I like to, you know, on a Friday night, my ideal Friday night is like hang out at home, you know, like with my girl or something like that. And, you know, there was never a point where I was like, I want to be famous. Like I want to get rich and famous doing this. And, but you know, I wanted it to be about the message. I wanted it to be about the people that we brought on and not about me at all. And, you know, hopefully that has delivered a little bit. I think there's a natural curiosity that people have about, you know, who I am or whatever. But you know, if you want to find out who I am, listen to the show.
Well, I can see the I know you, man. So when I kind of smile a little bit as you say that story, because, you know, hence the you being introverted, right? So hence you then taking the challenge on, right, of talking to someone, right, and especially talking to people of such a cerebral caliber, right, and be willing to sit there. And it's a vulnerable place, right? I love how you compared to, and I love you skipped over to the philosophical idea of if your palms aren't sweating before you do something, that's when you do need to start to worry. I love that you skimmed it, but I thought it was beautiful. But hence the struggle, right? Like that's part of the human creativity process, is you need that struggle, that fear. So being an introvert, you're stepping into the box on the mic with, let's just say, the best there is in those categories. Mm-hmm. And you sit with them. And yeah. I see how you do that, man.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I try to do things purposely that make me uncomfortable. I like doing that. It's weird. I don't know why, but I like pushing my growth as much as I possibly can. So, just an example for you, like I'll give myself little tasks or missions and it will specifically be something that makes me uncomfortable. Like the design, the aspect, the goal of whatever these exercises are is to get me out of my comfort zone. So for example, I just moved to this huge city and I don't know anyone here at all. And so my goal right now is just to talk to 5 random people per day and to take them past, you know, the surface conversation of just, hello, how are you doing? And, you know, really, really dig into their psyche a little bit. And it's been fun, man. It's been cool to, you know, really engage with people a little bit more. But yeah, you know, I'm all about taking a person out of where they feel comfortable, because comfort is a dead zone, man. Comfort is like this anti-growth area, you know, where you're just comfortable and you're just lazy and you're happy. Maybe you're happy doing that. But, you know, there's an aspect of just reaching past that little bubble that you've created for yourself. I mean, I'm sure you know what I'm referring to here.
Well, there's a great book out, that some guy wrote about uncomfortable is where the change is. He says that a lot. And, I'm laughing 'cause that's my book. The being uncomfortable is what's important, right? So I talk about learning, right? Going through experiences. You mentioned growth. You call it growth by putting yourself in those uncomfortable situations. You're creating new experiences for you, you know, to allow to adapt your beliefs in that process by putting yourself through it. And I say a lot of ways that you can control fear, anxiety, right, is by getting competent, right? The principle I talk about, competence brings confidence equals enthusiasm. So for you, you not only are already interviewing people that you're already into the topic, you already love what they do, but I know for one thing, your interview prep is serious. I mean, you take that shit like it's pregame Super Bowl and like, yeah, you're even like, don't call me. All right. For 20, like I'm in the zone, right? You're gone, right? You leave the reservation.
Oh my God, man. If I told people what I actually did, I don't know, man. Like it might be a little bit, I mean, there have been times where I'll like sleep with the book and, you know, like I'll think I will seriously think in my mind, like osmosis is real. And I'm like going to like somehow interpret some information through, you know, this book being under my pillow. It gets weird, dude. And, so yeah, there is a little bit of, you know, just, I'm a very superstitious person, man. I think when you're doing something and you get good at it, or when the results are beyond your expectations, you're like, what did I do? What exactly did I do that day? And then you try to replicate, you know, a lot of NFL players do that. A lot of pro athletes do that. But
I do.
Yeah,
that.
Man.
I got my routine. I play my same four or five songs prior. I do a certain thing. Like, I don't tell everybody what I do. I'm with you, man. It's that ritual of the preparation before you go to battle, right? But that this cerebral battle, right? We're not gladiators anymore, right? And for me, one thing I love about how you host an interview, one, it couldn't be more opposite me. So possibly it's why I look at it as going, damn, I couldn't do that shit. Mm. Right. But you do it in this, it's warrior-esque of what we can do today cerebrally, right? Like in your early days of HXP, it was definitely more confrontational, but I knew that you were doing it just to learn. You're pressing. That's what I do is I go, well, your holes are here in the story, but if I press them, you're going to just teach me more and I'm going to get it. Hmm. Mm-hmm. But your approach is definitely more on the level of like, show me what you have. This is what I've learned. I think that allows people to process some really deep shit easily. And you act almost as a filter. And because you get so deeply involved, maybe because you do have osmosis with the book, who knows? But that interview style is something that I've always related to and admired about what you do.
Thanks so much, man. I really appreciate that, you know, especially coming from you and you know, the ship that you've built with Cognitive Rampage. And I know that you're as passionate about this as, you know, I am, and you take this very seriously. And I think we're in a little bit of a different breed than, you know, your average millennial that is jumping into the podcasting world. And yeah, I don't mean anything bad against millennials, but I'm just, you know, I think that we have a sort of different mentality, a different mindset. And, you know, we're not the Joe Rogans of the world and we're not trying to be, you know, we're just being ourselves. And, you know, if we're able to, and I should speak for myself here, but you know, if we're able to impact one mind, you know, two minds, three minds, wow, you know, that's amazing to me. And, you know, I know, you know, just from our conversations, I know that is a big deal for you as well. And, you know, it was never about reaching, you know, the number of people that we're reaching right now. That was never the goal for me. And, you know, like, I think if, you know, if I could give anyone a cautionary note, be careful what you wish for, you know, because the world's an interesting place and just, you know, I don't know, man. I'm just going to leave it right there with be careful what you wish for.
Well, I kind of felt the same way because after, you know, you're into it for a while and you start getting certain emails and then too many email or messages to try to answer them all right. Not enough, but because when I'm responding, man, I'm trying to respond with all I got, you know, and then it stretches so far. And then I realize I'm like, I'm burdened with like 20 people's lives in my head right now and I can't help them. You know, I couldn't get to them. And those are things I didn't mean for, right? I was at the time, I was just really pissed. I'm like, no, this is wrong. This has got to stop. Right. And then also following people that like you were somewhat heroes in that world to me. Dr. Stanton Peel being one of those. Right. And I think there's a lot to be said to careful what you wish for. Right. Many times we get upset if we don't get what we wanted, but sometimes that's like the best thing, right, that ever could have happened to us.
It seems so cliche and just, you know, blah, like, but it's true. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead, man.
No, I just, you know, like,
it's very much, you know, I think that when a person like me or you, like, you know, when we interface with someone, we want to give them all of that. We want to give them our 100% of our attention, 100% of our energy, 100% of our time. And when you're trying to navigate between, you know, 30, 40, 100, 100,000 people, I mean, it's just overwhelming. You get taxed. I mean, you're a human being and you have limits. You know, we're not equipped to handle that much information, and it becomes overloading.
Yeah, that's a good point you point out, the overload of information, right? So, I mean, you're literally sitting down taking 101 from the experts of all the professors and people, the researchers and writers of all of it. You look at 101 episodes, you've taken 101, at least 101 into an advanced courses levels, multiple, right, levels. And, you know, I was thinking how cool it feels. It's just so generic to say it, but to share the fact that I'm just here wanting to talk to this person and learn this, and that, hey, so do they, you know, they want to hear that too, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's surprising that, you know, like most people want to ask the same questions that you're asking, and they're thinking the same thing that you're thinking. A lot of the times we'll get some of the feedback that we get is, you know, hey, Xavier, like it's so crazy because I was listening to this episode and it's like, you're in my head because I'll be thinking something and then you say it. And, you know, and you mentioned this earlier, but it's just about that flow state, you know, and getting into that flow state. And flow state is very important to my life, man. I live on that. I thrive on that. You know, that's my juice. And, I try to create that flow state as much as possible.
Number one, I hate ranking them because they change, right, with whatever we're wanting to do or feel, but what puts you in the flow state of podcasting, or is podcasting the flow state?
Podcasting is a very, very high up there level for me. The gym is another really high component to, you know, what I'm doing. It's like my temple. I just go there and just thrash out, and, you know, I just release. And recently I picked up like biking, and I just, you know, San Diego is a very hilly area, and biking through downtown is probably the most fun I've ever had in a long time. And, yeah, man, I love it here. But that flow state, you know, if you've heard the show at all, you know, psychedelics are an important, you know, part of who I am. Ayahuasca, namely ayahuasca. And, I was fortunate enough to encounter a group, the UDV, the Uniao du Vegetal. And, you know, fortunate enough to encounter a group that is very systemized with their use of this medicine, because that's what it is. But it tends to keep me in check. You know, it tends to keep me level. And I don't know, man. I honestly don't know where I would be without, you know, drinking that. And
well, that's deep to say, man. And if people know human experience, if they know HXP, like, definitely need to listen to it, then they understand why a lot of who you talk to is involved in a lot of those aspects in some manner. But what do you think brought you there the first time, and walk me through the first time and what the mind was like walking into that pre-experience and then post-experience?
Great question. So, you know, ayahuasca is one of those things where you are called to it. You know, it just calls you. It's like either you're called to it or not. And you will definitely know, you know, like some people just aren't. Some people aren't called to it. Other people, they are. And it's like a magnet. It's like two huge magnets. And it's just like, it just pulls you closer into its gravitational pull. And, you know, that first time, you know, I had no idea what to expect, man. I was working out of Gainesville, Florida, and I was working out of an incubator there. And, I was eating lunch at this Krishna temple, And every day they would serve this really healthy, like Indian lunch, great food. And one day, one of the brothers of the Krishna temple mentioned those three letters, the UDV. And I just lit up. I was just like, wait a minute, there's a UDV in Gainesville, Florida, of all places. And it just started this process of seeking them out, looking for them. And I, you know, the position.
For those that don't know, I hate to interrupt you. For those that don't know, can you walk through the UDV?
Okay. The União de Vegetal is a religious organization that uses ayahuasca as a sacrament. They use it as their sacrament when they're a religious organization that uses the tea to expand their consciousness, to better know God, to better know ourselves. And it's just a mind-blowing experience, man. These people, you know, it's like you have your family, you have your blood family, and then you have your soul family, you know. And it's like kind of like when you and I encounter each other, there's this connection. We just felt it, you know. And when I encountered these people, it was just a feeling, you know. It was just like this something that you could never take away. And you know, when I was working in Gainesville, this was several years ago now, but I was working in Gainesville. I was a raging alcoholic, man. I mean, like, I would drink straight. I would plan out, you know, how I was going to get drunk that day after I got off work. And I wouldn't even drink. I wouldn't even pour it into a glass. I was like this wine snob, and just get some good wine, just drink it straight from the bottle and just like do all of these things. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know if I've had anything, you know, like, I'm glad I did that. I was really drunk and I'm glad that that happened. There's no moment like that for me. It was all these sort of like, oh shit, you know, like, what am I doing? What am I thinking? What am I doing to myself? What am I doing to my life? And, you know, this is right in during the inception of the podcast. And,
you're going through a lot of changes anyway. You're walking out of, the 9-to-5 idea and the job and God knows what, planned or expected career of you and walking into something totally new.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And you know, it's amazing, man, because I truly believe that things come into your life at the right time, and that trusting the timing of your life is extremely important. You know, just really flowing with the timing of nature and the universe and your connection with nature and the universe. Ayahuasca has taught me more about myself. You know, the way that I classify it to people when I talk about this is, you know, my life pre-ayahuasca and my life post-ayahuasca. Mm-hmm. And
that's your ABC thing.
Yeah. And
well, you know, like, we can't say in the beginning because it's what AA, right? So it'd be after ayahuasca. That doesn't work out well.
So, you know, I never drank again after my first session. I stopped doing drugs. I became a better person. I mean, I just realigned with myself, bro. Just me, just who I am. And, you know, like, there, this family of people, that I've come to adore so much. And, yeah, man, I just, you know, based on, you know, like, it's hard to say, you know, I recommend you do ayahuasca without even talking to someone.
Right.
But, you know, like, you know, it is one of those things that if you feel pulled towards, I would recommend it, man.
Well, it changed your life, right? Before I cut you off, you were basically talking about the change you were going through into starting the podcast and basically just kind of being a wreck with the alcohol. And then one experience with that changed it. And really, I mean, how much do you think it fed then the birth of HXP?
Oh yeah, it's interesting because I've thought about this a lot, and I remember, you know, going to session and then recording shows, and in the back of my head, I'm thinking, you know, if anyone knew that I'm drinking ayahuasca on the weekends and then doing this show during the week, like, what would they think? But, you know, now ayahuasca is so prevalent. It's becoming more and more mainstream, and, you know, we can talk about it without feeling judged or criticized or colored in some way. At least I feel like I can do that now. But, you know, for me to leave alcohol and drugs and all those harmful things behind. I mean, we all have this suffering, this internal, we all suffer, man. We're on this planet. This is part of the Earth life system here is suffering. That's just what we go through. And we all deal with it in different ways. And a very common aspect of this is just numbing out the pain, just numbing this away. And that's what I was doing, man. I couldn't feel, you know, I was feeling too much. I wanted this to go away. I wanted to numb myself out to everything that I was feeling. And alcohol was a great way to do that. You know, just obliterated drunk. I don't miss those times at all, man. And even now, you know, I look at a bottle of wine. I'm like, oh, I'll have half a glass. And it doesn't faze me at all anymore. Which is a huge statement, man. There's people who struggle with addiction for their whole lives.
Yeah, I've worked with them up close and personal. And, you know, that's one of my arguments really is I'm not just screaming, you know, chemical incarceration with all your prescriptions. I'm offering saying, hey, open up everything. If the pills are available, well, then ayahuasca should damn well be available. Mm-hmm. And so should every other psychedelic or any other natural approach to treating anything. And that's a lot of part of what we fight. So definitely speaking, you know, I say, if somersaults work for you, do that. You know what I mean? If the ayahuasca works for you, man, brother, do that, because the shit that's coming out of HXP, well, it's something to be remembered, man. I mean, if we had to log some history stuff away for some, hey, you want a smaller capsule with a lot of information stored in a little place? HXP, just store this shit here. We can at least get up to date on some areas of science today.
Thanks, man. I really work really hard for this, and it is about giving people, you know, something that they can use, hold on to, and you know, just creating something lasting that people can look back at and access and for information.
Well, you mentioned something earlier. I actually had to even write it down. Was the idea of trusting your time. And was this an important mental shift in that working 9 to 5, drinking to numb it out? And then was there an actual mental shift in a belief of like, this isn't my time, this is shitty, I don't like the time, to trusting that is your time? I think that's important, right? You and I also like to take apart sentences, right? What's that really mean, right? Mm-hmm. And trusting your time, I kind of want to break
that down. I'm going to correct you. It's trusting your timing. Mm-hmm. So just... Yeah, we can get into that. Trusting the timing of your life is just,
because I love it. That's why I'm pointing it out, because I love the approach. Is, I mean, personally speaking, right? That's what I doubt sometimes, right? Is this where I'm supposed to be? Right? Should be. We're hit with all that, but was there a transfer, really? A transfer to trust in your perception of time in that transition of your life?
Yeah, you know, when we're in the midst of something, it's very difficult to see something objectively. You know, we get caught up in the details of, you know, oh, well, how is this going to work? How is that going to work? And we're so busy in our minds, like figuring out, you know, how things are going to work out, or how things might not work out. What is the worst possible scenario? You know, we're playing all these different iterations of what can possibly happen. We get lost in that. It's a very ego response. It's a very self-preservation aspect of our human psychology. And, you know, the more that we can connect into just trusting that things are going to work out as they should, because you're giving whatever you're giving 100% of your energy, 100% of your time, 100% of yourself. You're showing up every day and you're knocking out. You're crushing it. You're killing it.
There it is.
And, you know, you're doing that, and you're doing it consistently. And if you can measure, you know, if you can measure where your life is by that, instead of, you know, how is this going to work out? Instead, you know, why not look at it like, okay, I'm giving this 100% of myself. I'm doing everything that I possibly can to make this work out, to make this go smoothly. So whatever else happens, you know, let the cards fall where they may. And, you know, stop trying. I sound like Tyler Durden right now, but stop trying to control it all. Stop trying to, you know, adjust the direction of your life, and just let it flow.
It almost sounds like a philosophy, man.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it is somewhere.
Well, that's another question that kind of brought up as you were cognitively rampaging, actually. You know, is the philosophy of HXP separate or different from the philosophy to which you live by?
Wow, you're going for the cuts, man. oh, God.
You brought it up. You were cognitively rampaging. Look, I had to write this shit down, man.
okay. That's a really good question. You know, I think HXP has very much become, you know, its own organism. It has its own life. And, I've started to move a little bit away from what that is doing. And, you know, we have a team working on that now. And if I was feeding myself into that process every day, I would lose my mind. Because, I mean, you know me enough to know I'm this crazy perfectionist, which we all know that, you know, perfection is this deluded, the lowest state. But I, you know, it's just who I am. And, you know, I want everything to be 99%, you know, just on point. And I'm just like, I'm pushing the envelope and doing everything that I can to, you know, make it look like that, make it seem like that, make it operate like that. And, HXP has, you know, we've got this massive Twitter following now, Facebook, you know, just that process is a little bit, you know, different than the podcast and, you know, what we're doing with the show. For me, it's about those real moments, like where I can connect in a moment like this, where I can connect with you and, you know, your listeners and the people listening to the show. It's about the space that I create for these one-on-one interactions where, you know, I can't see your eyes right now, but, you know, like where I can look into someone's eyes and just, you know, connect with them on a human level. That's where it is for me.
Well, I actually see a link in the philosophy, brother. I actually, because when we started talking, your idea about connecting with five people, setting tasks like that, right, to expand, but that's connecting. That's looking somebody in the eye and giving them a moment. And that's a philosophy you're living by. And it seems that, you know, HXP represents that and is following almost the same philosophy.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I you know, it's interesting when you start a project and you're just doing it because you love it, and then there's this sort of resounding success. And, you know, we all have different definitions of success, but, you know, if a podcast exists to be listened to, then, you know, we were reaching some amount of success there. And, it's definitely interesting. You know, there's a very distinct human aspect to all of this. And, you know, 99% of people are genuinely good-hearted, you know, like just beautiful people. There is that 1%, you know, 1% of 7 billion people is not a small number. And, you know, there is that 1% of the crowd that they want to fuck with your day. They want to see you having a bad day. Mm. And, you know, that is where I start to kind of step back. And, you know, like I said, man, I'm not the type of person to want to be center stage. That's not where, you know, I think I'm the most efficient. I feel like the place where I'm most efficient is behind the scenes and, you know, just navigating and doing everything that I can behind the scenes. But
I hate to break it to you. You know, you interview all of those amazing people on the podcast, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I mean, you're essentially the only co-star that puts you right on stage, man.
I don't even see myself that way, man. I see myself as a sort of conduit for that person's knowledge and awareness and their understanding, and, you know, like a battery.
Yeah, go ahead, man. My fault. You're getting me all hyped up because I like it when people speak truth like that, because I know that's really, ever since I met you, kind of described it as yourself in the podcast as a conduit to others rather than jumping on. Yeah, I am the co-star, right? But yeah, I still think that's a part of you. That's still, you're bringing you to that part of HXP, which allows that, you know, without the conduit, no energy gets transmitted, man. So, you know, it's an important piece. And I'm jumping forward because the reason I asked the life philosophy, right, and the link to your life philosophy and how you live, and you're open to change. I know that you're open to change, learning, growing, anything's possible, right? Questioning everything. And essentially HXP brings everyone on, questions everything, and then questions those that question everything. Is I was asking that because, you know, people are going to listen to either your podcast or some, you know, mine, others, right? They get inspired. It seems like it's like DJs in the 2000s are happening again. Everyone's a DJ. Everyone's a podcaster now, right? And how much people are looking for that how-to. They're looking for that map on how to build the perfect podcast. And I just don't think it exists. And your story, I think, is a representation of that. Although I know you play the game, you play the chess moves, you know, you structure well, but you really followed your philosophy from the beginning to how it grows now. And unless you draw it, there's no map for a philosophy for a podcast, right? Unless Xavier would be drawing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I don't, I'm a little bit halfway with agreeing with you, man. I'm a purist, just speaking for myself, but I think there is a sort of map to developing a show that is engaging and it asks a listener to, you know, ask questions and keeps them kind of hooked on and wanting more. You know, a lot of the podcasts that I hear recently and coming out lately, you know, it's just, and I'm not trying to, you know, jock these guys or bust these guys up or anything like that. I just, you know, I don't feel that connectivity. You know, I don't feel like these people are having this conversation that is going to in some way help my life. Like, I've just heard maybe I'm just listening to shitty podcasts. I don't know what it is, but you know, like these people are talking.
I do. Like, oh, sorry. Go ahead, bro.
No. I was pretty much.
Well, I do see a transformation. It's weird. It's almost like radio, literally old school radio, right? Or the morning zoo setup style seems to be infiltrating in the podcast side, right? That seems to be the mainstream, the studios and couches and mics. It looks like the fucking television news, right? I mean, I'm going, I thought this was a different platform to get direct information, not about the coffee you like. Right. Was to get real shit, not about the supplements you take. Right. It's just to get real direct information. And you see the Hollywoodness of it almost taking over what used to be just this steady stream of competence and growth.
Yeah. I mean, the world has changed, man. I mean, in the age of information where we have direct access to literally any information that we want at our fingertips. And you know, the problem with that is that we are inundated. We are constantly being bombarded with so much information that it almost becomes toxic. We are, you know, we are at this point where, you know, on a regular day, an average person is getting so much that, you know, they're overloaded. You know, so for you to be a content creator and for you to be in the mindset of someone who wants their content to reach a certain amount of people and affect them in a certain way, then you have to be doing certain things. You have to be creating certain elements of, you know, your podcast, whatever it might be, that keep me. If you mention, you know, like television or the Kardashians or, you know, your favorite sports team or what beer you're drinking or some shit like that, I'm probably going to tune out. Still with me, brother?
Yeah, you came back.
Okay.
Nope.
Did you hear the end of that?
Yeah, you're good. You broke off on talking about what beer you like that you'd probably tune out.
Yeah, that's right where I stopped. That's it.
Beautiful. You just put the brakes on it real quick, right? I mean, it's hard too, right? Because honestly, it's entertainment at the same time, right? So it's really there for anybody, right? That's what I love, right, about the internet and podcasting is whatever you want to learn about or listen to is there. And I think as long as that platform is open, it's helpful. But like you said, the saturation and how much information we can actually take in and once what we're inundated with, I mean, mental health, come on, there's a massive rise in anxiety, right? And depression. And look, we can't say causation correlation with social media or exposure to it, but possibly it is, right? I mean, we know things like the Dunbar number exist, right? Or at least theories of it. And how much information we, like you said, I don't think we were maybe built for this much info, at least yet anyway, right? I mean, we're open to every country, every news, every possible death threat that in the world, holy shit, could happen on a daily basis. And possibly maybe we're not built for that, right? And maybe those two things are linked.
Yeah. I mean, we
just, I got to cut you off. I just thought about something.
Okay.
You're inundated with that kind of knowledge on multiple web levels. I'll just leave it at that. How do you avoid the saturation, man? How do you really, I mean, I don't want to say unplug, right? But how do you avoid the craziness, the anxiety, the things that that can really cause that I feel myself, right? That I've experienced in diving down certain topics, right? How do you avoid getting there? And matter of fact, how do you know when you are getting there?
It's, you know, it's difficult to really know that feeling and really know yourself enough to know, you know, I'm on overload right now. But for me, just in my practice, you know, I meditate every day, and I have a chanting practice that I do with these prayer beads. Very important to me. There is a day of the week, usually Sundays, where I just disconnect. Like I will not be on my phone. I will not be on my computer. And you know, those I regard like Friday, Saturday, Sunday as sort of my holy days. And you know, if you're on my team, you know that those 3 days is going to be hard to reach me. And but you know, Sunday, late Sunday, Sunday night through Thursday, you know, I'm in it. You know, I'm in this sort of swarm of just information. And you know, it's hard, man. It's hard to have a barometer to, am I being overloaded right now? And you know, you get sucked in. It sucks you in, man. It really does.
Yeah.
And you know, it really is just about, you know, knowing your own limit, knowing yourself enough to know, okay, this is way too much. Like, you know, if you're absorbing one or two different things that you're trying to learn, you know, your capacity to learn is very limited. I mean, the brain can only process so much, but when you're on Facebook seeing what, you know, your best friend had for dinner, your best friend's girlfriend's new dog, and you know, just all of this information that we don't need this. We don't need to know, you know, what you ate yesterday. I don't. So, you know, I don't post on Facebook anymore. I don't look for that. I don't look for that validation. I don't need anyone to validate my life for me. As simple as that.
Yeah. Cause you know, burnout, I think, applies with anything. You talked earlier about finding something, right, that interests you, that moves you, that passion. But I think burnout can be real, right? Cause once, if you get what you wish for and you haven't been careful, right, you end up biting off a workload that saturates your life, right? That you really got to slow down and think about. If you could go back and do anything differently as HXP grew to what it is, what would you change? If anything?
Nothing. I don't live that way. I don't live in, you know, like, I don't live like that, man. I accept my decisions, and, you know, with the information that I had at the time, I made the best decision possible. You know, like sometimes when we're in a money crunch and, you know, I think about some of the money that we've left on the table, I'm just like, oh man, you know, I wish I would have had that. But you know, it's just a entertaining thought to have in that moment. But you know, when someone asks me a question like that, it's a very clear, resounding nothing. You know, I enjoy learning from my, you know, would-be mistakes and failures. And, you know, I love growing, man. It's part of who I am. And, everything that I've done up to this point, I feel like I've done in the highest moral standing that I've had within my ethos. And, just, you know, I live by a code, man. And it's important to me to withhold or, you know, hold that honor and that respect and that loyalty. Those are important things, especially now.
A beautiful 360 dunk with that alley-oop right there. Just set you up beautifully on that one. I appreciate that one. Just dunked it down. But before we go anywhere. Yeah, you're welcome. Before we go anywhere, though, I do have a question that I think you probably haven't been asked, but
sure.
If you were interviewing yourself, what's one question you'd have walked away from and said, man, I'd ask myself that. What's that question?
Oh God, man. I don't know, dude. I just, I don't, I can't answer that question. I have no idea.
What we'd ask ourselves, right? Like if we could go back and if you could not tell yourself one thing, but ask yourself one thing, it's kind of that approach, right? As if I could ask myself, interview myself, what's the one question I'd want to get asked?
You know, there's, for me, it's really about, you know, how are you surviving the everyday? And, it's really, cause anyone can have this sort of, you know, like charming persona, runs this podcast, interviewed a bunch of people. But if you're shooting heroin just, and you're, you know, this working addict and you're just, you know, your life is in bad shape, man. And I don't really want to replicate that. I don't want to copy that. I don't want to absorb that. And, you know, it's important for me. And especially in the last year or so, man, I feel like my focus has been more on, you know, my everyday health, my mental health, my physical health, you know, eating right, getting enough sleep, and just, you know, those basic things, man, basic things that we take for granted. You know, when I talk to my clients, you know, it's something that we go through, and bro, like, I'm sure you hear this with your clients, patients, but, it's shocking how people are like, oh, you know, I didn't get any sleep last night. Haven't slept for like a week. I'm so depressed. And I'm just like, yeah. That's why.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah. Hello. You just answered your own issue right there.
Go meditate, go get some sleep, go eat right. And, you know, do that for a week and just come back to me and talk to me. Most people aren't getting that. Most people aren't nurturing themselves. They're so busy, you know, running a business. And I feel like that's such a shitty, you know, excuse for things. Like, you know, I'm too busy. I was too busy to give you a call. I was too busy to shoot you a text. What? You know, I don't understand that. And, you know, a good question, you know, that I wonder about is, you know, have we really evolved? Has our civilization really evolved? Because it seems like everything around us has evolved. Like technology has evolved, the type of cars we drive in has evolved. But we as human beings, I don't know, man. It's difficult, especially when you look at the political climate today, which I don't want to get into with you, but like, if you just look at you know, what's going on in the world, man, and it's a scary, scary, scary place.
That's a man. There's got to be something connected because my very next question, man, was we haven't had our hour or two cognitive rampage where you're at, right? Where the HXP mind is floated to and the wonders. And, you know, I'm wondering, you know, you've interviewed some giants and titans from the beginning, but even bigger lately. But how many theories there are thrown at you that are processed down a rabbit hole within an hour or so on the show? Where is the recesses of Xavier's mind currently? When you're porch watching and you're watching the waves or you're riding the bike, where amidst all those theories and ideas and life approaches from where we began to where it's going to end to where we are, where are the recesses of yours at this time?
Great question. You know, I want us to survive, man. I want humanity to make it. You know, I have faith in the world and in humans and people. And, you know, it's hard for me to see, you know, people struggle. And, you know, there's a pretty wide ranging homeless population here in San Diego. And it's tough, dude. And I see like an empty house and then I'll see like a homeless person. And, I'm just like, society has failed. I feel like society has failed in that regard. And, you know, it should be difficult to be on the streets. It should be hard to get on the streets. And I took a walk the other night. I really like taking like walks when I can't sleep or, you know, when I'm thinking too much, I just go out, walk around. And, the other night I was walking around and there's like this fountain that I go to that I really like. And I just kind of hang out there and just think. And something was pushing me to, you know, walk a little bit further past the fountain. And this has never happened before. And not while I was walking and I was like, huh, that's weird. And so I started walking and, I looked to my left and there's this girl, man, she must've been like 21, 22. And I don't know, just down and out. She had a little book bag, just a cute little chick and just,
it was scary, dude. It's like, that is someone's daughter. You know, that is someone's blood. I mean, you've got a daughter, man. And, you know, it hurt my heart. And, you know, she was just crashed out between these two bushes of this like bank building. And it was clear that, you know, where she was sitting and where she was sleeping, she was just trying to avoid the other homeless people. And, I don't know why I'm sharing this right now, but it really affected me. You know, it really impacted me to see that girl laying there. And, you know, I didn't want to wake her up because I thought she might stab me or something. But, you know, it could have been anyone that we know, man. It could be, you know, that was sitting there, that was laying there, that I passed. And, any one of us, you know, and I just think that it's really crucial to, you know, have a connection with your family, the people around you, your blood. And, you know, if you don't have that, if you don't, maybe your family, has passed, or you just don't have that connection with your family, you select a family, create that dynamic. And it's important to go back as we evolve with computers and technology and all of these things that paradoxically, like somehow these social networks are supposed to bring us together, but they do the opposite of that. You know, they're creating separation. So the more that we can, you know, assemble into these tribes, like these real tribes, where there is this foundation of just love and understanding and acceptance, you know, most of all, just acceptance. And I think most people, man, just want to be understood. They want to be heard. They want to be accepted.
Yeah, the connection, right? We want to feel connected to something, man. As you were explaining that young girl, you know, I think too, right? And I look around, it's almost the more we learn and get knowledgeable about what could be, or, you know, what isn't or what was, we almost learn how much more we don't know. And it's so hard not to take a pessimistic approach. But I think once you get through that first wall of learning so much, and a lot of people don't, right? They learn so much and they realize, holy shit, we're fucked. And they just stay in this pessimistic world. But being able to move through that and still find the hope in it, I think that also makes us vulnerable to seeing things in other ways, right? I'd probably be like you, looking at something like that, then expanded that and made 6-7 chess moves backwards to go, how did we allow this young woman to be here, right? And not loved and not connected in a way, and almost hopeless or helpless laying there, right? And, yeah. But I think seeing so much in life, learning so much in life, all the people that you've had on the show, the people you connect with outside of that, following your passions to get there, well, it opens that up for everybody and it shares that for everybody and brings a different perception or even hope to people. I think that's why you probably get the emails, if it gives me hope and change, because people think they're either cursed or uncursed, right? Or biologically screwed. Then they learn something on your show from somebody you've been a conduit to bring them that help. I think with HXP and what the other things you do, that's helping and changing the proximity. And HXP is reaching tons, so that affects tons of people's proximity. But affecting that, I think, right, is where maybe we can really make a change and get beyond the pessimism of the almost obvious to see when you walk into the facts of our existence here, but finding that hope and faith that we can go beyond.
Hmm. Yeah, it's small changes, man, because those small changes add up to lasting big changes. And the more we can affect a habit, maybe it's a negative habit or a bad habit that we don't like, something that we want to alter in our lives, the more that we can just chip away at it a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Because nothing, you know, nothing is going to happen just overnight for you. I mean, and I think it's, with me, that has been, you know, pretty eye-opening. And I'm that person that wants everything now. You know, I see it in my mind, I figure it out, and I'm just like, okay, let's do this now. Let's have this happen now. And, that's why I mentioned the timing of your life, because that's been a personal lesson for me, especially lately. And, you know, I'm more in the moment now. I'm more in the flow now. I'm less stressed out. Just by accepting where things are. And knowing that I'm giving everything 100% of myself, I'm showing up, I'm doing the work, and then just trusting, leaving the rest up to God, the universe, whatever you believe in.
And that, my friends, is a cognitive human experience. We dropped a rampage on it because it's, you're talking about the human experience, man. I mean, one, I remember when I caught the name of your podcast long before I met you and looking at saying, man, the human experience, you, that's exactly what I wanted to title what I was thinking about. Right. And I think that's actually where I was. I was somewhere in Marco Island, right? I found the human experience. I was searching it because I wanted to name it something. And I'm like, this fucking guy already got it. And then I'm looking at who you interviewed and I'm like, this fucking guy. I'm like, he took my playbook already. You know, the man's already unfolded it in front. And ever since then, man, like you said, right? Things are for a reason, right? We meet people, we interact with them for the timing. And I think maybe you're right. The less we question the timing of those people in our lives, and maybe the more we're appreciative of those times in our lives, man, maybe we can all learn a little bit.
And
lessen anxiety for all of our, for everyone around us too. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, I know you well enough to know that this is a very important thing for you and the people that are around you. And, you know, you are a very open-hearted person and you give as much as yourself as you can, especially to the people that you care about, you know, like your daughter mainly, namely. And, you know, it's cool, man. It's, you know, I respect it. I love the community that you've set up on Facebook. And, you know, I'm kind of behind the scenes. I don't really post on there, but I'll check it out, you know, once in a while. And that's what we need more of, man, is, you know, people doing the stuff that, you know, you and I are doing it right now. And whether it's, you know, creating a podcast or something else that drives you, but, you know, whatever it is, and just creating your own story, because more and more, I feel like people are becoming disillusioned with the system and the status quo and, you know, college, that whole game and the 9 to 5. I mean, it's just people are starting to drop out of that. And it's interesting where we are right now. It's interesting.
It is, man. What a time, right? I mean, it's just, you could list 10 things that make you go, what the fuck? You know, it really does, man. Like I feel sometimes like the first age of man or the last, right? Depends on what day it is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there were three hurricanes spinning in the Atlantic, an 8.0 earthquake off the coast of Mexico. The sun had just, like, we're moving into a solar minimum, which means that the sun shouldn't be emitting any solar flares. And it utterly just blew up, man, just right as all this stuff is happening with Hurricane Irma, Harvey. And then it was all on the anniversary of 9/11. So, I mean, if you don't believe in symbology or the occult or, you know, whatever might be at play here, I mean, there is this sort of hidden aspect of things. And that's what I'm trying to do, man, with HXP and, just me. I'm trying to, you know, break open those doors of perception and just let people see for themselves and interpret for themselves what we're looking at.
Yeah. I mean, when you describe it like that, man, it does make you go, holy shit, right? The sky's falling. But we search for patterns, right? That's what us human beings do. And I love how you connected our search and for patterns and the patterns at play. And that being behind what you title the Human Experience podcast, right? Is that's what the human experience is about, creating patterns, recognizing patterns, breaking them, connecting them, believing in them, right? Doing conspiracies around them, finding the patterns, man. And it really is, brother, hard, like you said, not to look at and go, is this the end of days or are we still evolving and at the very beginning of our days?
Yeah. I mean, it's a valid question. And, you know, I feel like if we keep going in this direction that we are in right now, I don't know, man. I hate to be like a pessimist or, you know, whatever, but I feel like I'm being more of a realist when I say this, but like, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. Like the political landscape and everything that's going on in the world right now.
Well, the thing is nobody's a pessimist if you're on the bow screaming iceberg, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not looking at, oh, the guy on the bow, such a pessimist. Like, there's an iceberg, sure, but we'll turn. You know what I mean? But now you're just a pessimist if you're pointing out the fact, hey, motherfuckers, we're going to wreck this shit. You know what I mean? And to point that out, it's hard. You get caught in the crosshairs, even on social media and everything else. If you start pointing out, you know, the iceberg ahead, they're like, ah, shut up. you know, or they don't want to hear it, or it's such a kick in the cognitive dissonance, you know, of where we are, man. And I think we finally revealed a little of the actual recesses to which you sometimes lurk in when you're hanging out.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important. I want to make this note before we leave this topic. Just, it's important to forget about what's going on in the world, because the world will always be a stage and there will always be something going on that you can latch onto and forget about your life with. But, you know, it's important to stay with yourself and know where you are in your life, because what's going on with Donald Trump is not going to affect you right now. Not immediately, not directly. So, you know, all of this is mostly just entertainment. You know, it's just like, if you view it as entertainment, I mean, it's all the answers that you're looking for are within you. You know, you're not going to find answers outside. You're going to find answers by meditating every day. You're going to find answers by challenging yourself, looking at where you are comfortable and where you're uncomfortable, especially where you're uncomfortable, and challenging that, really challenging that in a way that is therapeutic. I mean, we're not talking about like you're afraid of heights, like go bungee jumping. I mean, you know, slowly, systematically attacking this aspect of, okay, I'm uncomfortable with this, you know, but, and looking at that, looking at why you're uncomfortable with that, what's making you uncomfortable? What about that exactly makes you uncomfortable? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's questioning our own experience. But, you know, I say there's a difference between criticism and analysis, right? And we've been trained almost in our society to be masters of criticism. We're quick just to criticize the moment, criticize ourselves, what could be, what happened, what's going to happen, instead of being more analytical of self, observing the self, right? And that's kind of what you're talking about, is observing the self and being able to sit and be okay with the thought that maybe it is meaningless, maybe it's not, maybe we die of nuclear weapons, maybe we don't, but for the most part, it's a gravity problem that this dude can't solve right now.
Yeah. And, you know, it just your everyday functioning, like where are you putting the most of your time? Like, what are you doing with your time? And are you working? Are you establishing something for yourself? Are you pursuing your dreams? Are you doing that? And, you know, this is what I help my clients do. And, gotten pretty good at it, man.
You're humble, man. You've gotten great at it. I you know, I was talking to a client the other day, and we talked about having what I call that thing in the garage, right? He was linked to a lot of, let's say, working with your hands, if you will, right? So I used the analogy of Buddy didn't have a hot rod in the garage, right? He didn't have the thing he was working on. You know, when the dullness of the day was over, there was nothing to go tinker with, nothing to build. There was no struggle on the opposite end of create. You know what I mean? And that's what you're talking about, is having that dream, if you will, by some people call it. But it doesn't even have to be a dream. It can just be that Rubik's Cube of your passion that you're just messing with a little bit. You need that tinkering of that release, I think, at times. And it's kind of obvious, right? When the person tells you, hey, I've been up for 3 straight days and I'm depressed, and I'm going, well, what do you do outside of that job thing? Or what do you do outside of that relationship, right? What do you do outside of maybe even the hobby itself? What's outside of that, right? What's the tinkering thing that allows you to be free? And, you know, how much, you know, do you feel free or confined within the limits of HXP when you're interviewing somebody? Is there a freedom there cerebrally that happens to you in the opening, the connectus, or is there a confinement?
Oh no, I don't think I would do it if it confined me, bro. Like, you know, it's a very freeing thing to be in that state, that flow state of just allowing someone else's perspectives, their own version of reality to enter yours. And it does sort of rub off, you know, like you're talking to a physicist, you start thinking in physics terms, you're talking to Grant Cardone, you start thinking about selling and closing and all that. And, you know, I mean, you said it, like I research thoroughly my guests, and, you know, I do my best to become intimate, very intimate with their material so that I can deliver a good show that, you know, like we're putting out content that is changing your mindset, your mentality, hopefully giving you the tools to, you know, learn, to grow, to be a better version of yourself.
That's essentially right. We're looking for that optimization, right? I think it's important too to keep in mind that you never really arrive. You know, I think when people think of a destination of arrival, right, I'll be okay when. Once I have, then I'll be, right? I think if we can eliminate that destination to be, I think it's at least a little easier to enjoy what is at the moment.
Yeah, we never get there. Like, your destination is always going to be somewhere later in time, somewhere later in space. And it's just not never going to be. It's always going to be the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And you know, like when we let go of outcomes, when we let go of our perception of what we think should be happening, and we just start to accept that, you know, this is the way it is. The more that we can connect with ourselves, man, the more we will live better lives. And, you know, sadly, we haven't been taught this in school. No one has told us this. I mean, maybe if we had good parents, we were taught this. But you know, most people were not taught meditation. We're not taught how to, you know, have a healthy schedule, how to live in a healthy way. And, you know, that's why they're listening to shows like mine, shows like yours, is because they're gaining that momentum. They're getting that little gem that optimizes their schedule a little bit more. And, you know, that's what it's all about, man. I mean, that's what we do this for. But there's never going to be this point of completion where you're whole in some regard. If you're looking for that, stop. You know, stop and ask yourself why you're looking for that. It's just a fool's errand, man. You're not going to get to this point where suddenly everything makes sense. And the more that we can accept that, the more easy it will be when we actually face it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. If you could, let's say there was a greater than all things, right? A higher power, a God, if you will, right? If we're there, let's accept that to be of some level of truth, right? If you could ask which theory of all of the theories and approaches to what you've interviewed and talked about is a certain fact or is on the right path or far or not far from it, which theory would you ask to see if it was true?
Okay. Interesting question. There's, you know, there is some speculation about the origins of our civilization, and, you know, scientists can't figure out when the pyramids, you know, were built, how they were built. We can't even replicate that right now. And, you know, I think one of the most interesting interviews, and I mentioned Graham Hancock before, he's not breaking anything open with that. Like that material has been around for a while. And I would really like to know what our origins are. You know, where do we come from? Is God, you know, something else? You know, is God an intelligent species that came here and seeded our planet? And maybe there is a race of beings that's what their job is. They seed planets. There's planet seeders, and they just go around to places like Earth and start life there. I really would like to, you know, crack the case open on that little quandary.
That's a good one, man. That's something to definitely come back to. I was asked that question actually by Patricia. If I could go back in time anywhere and witness one thing, what would that be?
What was your answer?
Well, I thought for a minute and I pondered and I said, possibly the day he allegedly arose and that stone rolled away. Because it'd be really hard, right? If you're watching it and you see that and it's over and it's done and then you see that.
Right.
It would be really hard, right? You'd almost get that answer, I think. I think all things almost open up to the possibility of reality at that point.
I mean, how would that affect your everyday life, though, if you knew
I think maybe the natural questioning that comes with something, right? The constant ponder that all men and women and other and everything else that experiences, right? That constant ponder where some days you just trust the timing, you know it's all connected. Then those days where you go, this shit ain't got no meaning. You know what I mean? None of these stories are real. Not this, right? Where you just feel the meaninglessness. And for me, maybe it's that search to quiet that up and down roller coaster of faith or belief in something beyond what we create as being important.
Yeah. And it's important to really have an understanding of
what you believe in, you know, like what
maybe back to the first day that we actually were like came from or what we did, right? Were we that the amoeba, the from the water, the bang, the theory, whatever it was, right? Maybe that day where you went and you were a scientist enough to go, ah, there it is.
Yeah. And, you know, it's important to understand what our origins are, you know, like, I was talking to this psychologist on the show, Dr. David Allen, I think, and we were talking about how evolutionary biology has not prepared us for, technology, like, and being in this world where we have television and we have social media, it doesn't like line up with where we are evolutionarily. So here's an example. So there is a neuron in your brain which looks at what other people have and will compare it to your life. And based on, you know, like when you're browsing Facebook and you see your friend, you know, with a new car and you don't have a new car, that, you know, that will create some depression there. That is a real thing. That is not just your mind making that up. That is an actual thing that we have, but it was a built-in program that we got when we were in this survival mode, when we were in this hunter-gatherer survival instinct mode. And like, for example, another example, there's like this girl that you're going to trying to talk to, or, and you feel nervous and you're just, you know, you're scared. The reason that you're scared, the reason that you're nervous is because, you know, back in our hunter gatherer days, if that girl said no to you, your DNA, it would stop there and you would die. That's right. There would be no lineage. But now it doesn't work in the same context. We still have that fear response. We still have that anxiety response of, oh my God, what if this girl doesn't talk to me? What if she doesn't like me? And, you know, there's girls everywhere now. So it's like that. It's like these, we're still learning how to deprogram ourselves from this old stuff that is still part of our genetics, still part of our system, still part of our thinking.
The last age of man, my friend. Right. It seems like preparing for that, like a transition definitely to something else. But you're right. We're so far behind, I think, in our development of what we can do just with weapons. I mean, what kind of dumb animal creates a weapon that can destroy itself and then makes thousands of them? You know what I mean? That for me is missing. We're missing a brain cell if we move forward with development like that, right? Without ever pausing for a moment. And it just seems like monkeys with degrees, you know what I mean? Sometimes that caught in the middle. Maybe we are that missing link, right? And we'll go down in history books as being that generation that jumped that gap from whatever we were when we were evolving in that hunter-gatherer period of whatever it is we're headed to become.
Yeah, man. It's important to really have a grip of understanding on where our biology is impacting us the most. And, you know, if you find yourself in a place where you're having these reactions or these responses that you don't necessarily understand, and it's good to investigate. It's good to look at that and to find out more about why, you know, you're doing the things you're doing, why you're behaving the way you're behaving in. That's what it's all about. I mean, if you're listening to this show, The Cognitive Rampage, then there's a part of you that wants to understand more. There's a part of you that is curious enough to, you know, be listening to the show and wants to kind of get that awareness locked in, get that next level locked in.
At least trying to learn something, right? Even if it's maybe something you're not interested in, right? I mean, I don't know. I look at the experience of life sometimes and just I do stand in awe. Some days, brother, I stand back and do just go, holy, what the, you know, it just throws me for a loop, man, so many days. But yeah, I mean, now you even see an advancement really in the very young college progressive movement that's now like anti-biology.
And I haven't noticed much of that. I mean, I've seen a big push towards like transhumanism, these guys that want to transfer their consciousness into like this robot body. And I'm just like all for it, man. Go for it. Just do it, man. Like, you know, I don't necessarily, I'm okay with the cycle of birth and death and, but transferring my consciousness and living forever. No, thank you. I'm gonna pass on that.
Yeah. I'll tap out on that one myself, man. I'll watch. You go for it. I'll watch. I promise I'll watch. But outside of that, man, no, I appreciate it, man, but it's, I don't know. With so much out there, even titled or umbrellaed as science or research, again, we're back to the saturation of information, right? Awareness is the new currency, right? It's not our money. It's awareness. And where do we put that time and awareness, and who do we give that away to, or how much of it do we give away to what?
Yeah. Time. People say that time equals money. That's bullshit, man. You can always make more money. The time that you have is so limited. And, you know, like you know me well enough, Adam, I'm crazy about, you know, where I put my time, where I put my energy. And
no,
you know,
like, I mean, you don't get upset when somebody's a few minutes late to a meeting.
I will just cut heads off, man. I don't like it. I'm not okay with that. Like if you're messing with my time, you know, you're just, that's probably the biggest offense to me. And, just because I have this aspect of, you know, okay, my time is extremely limited, and not just mine, but everyone's, like yours here too. And you never know what's going to happen tomorrow, man. It's life is very unpredictable. And, you know, I want to make the most of what I have. And so, you know, it's important to me to always be on time. It's important to me to have a respect towards time and other people's time, especially. And, you know, yeah, if I find that you're disrespecting my time more than once, and I'll give you, I'll throw out a warning and, you know, give you that. But, you know, if I find that this is a recurring issue and, you know, we've talked about it and nothing's happened, then yeah, man, I'm sorry, but you know, you're not respecting me. And, you know, I just, it's important, man. It's important. Time is important to, it's good to have a good sense of that and be curious. Go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off, but to kind of wrap up, right, what we're talking about, I got a question that really gears, it's going to be a much smaller niche of individual really, but let's assume, and I, you know, me and the MMA and also I'll use that metaphor to paint it, but let's assume, right, there's three rounds and whatever's happening, man. And whoever you're going to give this advice to is that person that's, whether it's a podcast or a dream or whatever it is that they're into, that they've just finished round one, right? Many people have asked that question. If you could go back to your 20s and give yourself advice, if you could talk to the person, you know, that's just starting a business or just starting, talk to that fighter, right? The one that's already a year into it, the one that's maybe more years into it, right? But they haven't quite jumped a level or moved to it, and bring from all the people you've talked to, the experience that you've gained talking to the people that you have, and your own personal experience. How would you look at that person after one round? You're in their corner. You got a minute or so to chat with them before they're back in for the second and third round almost. But what would you say to that person and their human experience?
Say the question again for me. I didn't know this was coming at me. What was the question?
No worries. It's look at it as if you're in someone's fight corner and they've already fought round one, right? Whether it's their business, the fight representing their business, their idea, their dream, their podcast, right? Their marriage, pick it, right? Whatever that fight they chose to take on has been, that struggle, right? That leads to our happiness, like we've already said. But rather than the one that's just about to start the fight or just lost the fight, right? Or has made the fight, that one that's only gone one round and may have taken some shots, right? Maybe have delivered some. What advice would you lead them as they develop and go into round two?
You know, it's important to stay consistent with the things you do, man. And, you know, I very much believe that, you do something with 100% and your passion, all of your passion, or just don't do it. You know, like don't do something half-assed. So, you know, to that person who's fighting that one round, you know, I would say stay in the game, man. Like keep your head up and keep throwing punches and let's see what you got. Like in the second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round. Cause you know, that's how things are going to be. And, you know, I feel like we are given as much as we can handle, you know, and sometimes it might feel like it's not that, you know, sometimes it feels like we're just overloaded. And, you know, most of the time I feel like we're given what we can handle just maybe a little bit more just to test us. And it's important to stay strong in those times. You know, I find that, you know, the most important judge of a person's character is not when things are going well, not that when things are going great, when things are fucked up, when shit is hitting the fan, that's when you see who a person is. That's when you see what a person is made of.
Mm. That's beautiful, man. To wrap this up, man. I appreciate the time, man. That's
bro. This was great, man. Thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I've been trying to get on your show for like 3 years, dude.
Yeah. Well, you got the exclusive here, man. And I look forward to when I'm on HXP too. I'm looking forward to that.
Time, dude. We're just talking about time, man. Time.
Yep. And I'm trusting my timing, my friend.
Thanks for that. I really enjoyed this a lot, man. I'll catch you like on the phone. I'll shoot you a text or something like that.
Yeah, brother. I appreciate you coming on, man. And sharing it, man. Cause that experience I think is what people learn and grow from. So thanks again.
For sure, brother. Hopefully your listeners, get something out of this. If they want to check out The Human Experience, it's thehumanxp.com. We got a bunch of different stuff going on there. Become a member and help us sustain what we're doing. There's a coaching program that I'm doing. You can email me about that. Man, it's all good, dude. It's all good.
Yeah. Hit the website one more time, man.
Thehumanxp.com.
Beautiful, man. Go there, check it out. I promise you, look, a lot of times, right, when people start podcasts, you get all picky or whatever, which one to start with. Look, just go to iTunes. You'll find it everywhere else too. Go to the Human Experience Podcast. Do like just thumb down, thumb up, make it whatever, and just tap one of those things. And let Xavier seriously walk you down a serious cerebral cavern to which you may not come back from. So I will give you a disclaimer on the podcast to be wary of the rabbit holes you walk through, because it can become Alice in Wonderland real quick in your own mind. So proceed with caution down Competence Road in the Human Experience Podcast for sure. But thanks again, Xavier, for coming on, man. Love the shit out of you, brother.
Yeah, love you too, man. Thank you so much, man.
See you, man.
Peace.